famine is spreading in Sudan.
What we're seeing is an unprecedented deepening of the crisis.
20 months of reckless war between the army and a paramilitary group have wrecked the country, leaving civilians to feel stateless.
There is no, for many, many Sudanese people right now, there is no authority looking out for their interests.
Today is Tuesday, December 24th, and this is The Issue from VOA.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lori London.
And I'm Scott Walterman. International experts portray the grim picture in war-torn Sudan.
The latest report shows us is that the situation has worsened further, and there's concern that there's famine has spread in other parts of North Darfur, where there are large displaced populations, and into the western Nuba Mountains. And overall, food security looks like it has worsened in the country. So what we're seeing is an unprecedented deepening of the crisis.
Dervla Cleary of the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization on Tuesday's report from the Integrated Food Security Phase Classification, or IPC, which detected famine in five parts of the northeastern African country. She said about 638,000 people in Sudan are experiencing famine.
It is unacceptable in a world like today where there's so much prosperity that you are seeing people dying of hunger. This should never be happening in today.
You know, Scott, this is just a crisis that, as we previously talked about, has not gotten a lot of attention. It's been sidelined. Because of all the other world crises in the Middle East and Ukraine.
Yeah, I know that it's unfair that it doesn't get a lot of attention, but there are other things happening that have just pushed it out of the way. And you might remember, as we reported a few weeks ago, the situation in Sudan is considered now the world's worst humanitarian crisis. We talked about it with Michelle Gavin, Senior Fellow for Africa Policy Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations.
Thanks for taking the time to speak with us about this. UN has said more than 30 million people are in need of aid. That is a lot of human beings.
This has been, it's both a frustrating conflict because in many ways it's senseless. Neither side has got the military capacity to win. It's frustrating because it's fueled by external powers who are not having to deal with the consequences of the human suffering. But it's also frustrating because it seems forever to be forgotten, even though it is in fact the world's worst humanitarian crisis. And it's a situation in which the armed conflict has been characterized by atrocities, but also by denial of humanitarian access on a massive scale. So people are starving to death.
Some people believe that the Sudan is at risk of breaking apart or becoming a failed state. Do you agree with that assessment?
I 100% agree that the risk of state failure is massive. The longer this goes on, the more fragmented Sudanese society becomes, as different identity groups, different regional groups try to protect themselves. And so any peace negotiation then gets more complicated because you have a whole lot of different actors at the table. And, you know, for a lot of Sudanese people, they would say their state has failed. For many, many Sudanese people right now, there is no authority looking out for their interests. There's a tremendous amount of very laudable work being done at the community level of, you know, civilians helping civilians. But no one is prioritizing civilian protection here. And, you know, the state is basically absent for an awful lot of Sudanese.
So the war erupted in April of 2023. Can you talk about why this happened? What led to this?
Sure. So Sudan was governed for a very long time by a pretty brutal authoritarian regime. And that regime had both its regular armed forces and a set of kind of paramilitary forces that it used to exert control and to keep each other off balance to some degree, right, to try to prevent a coup. Then in 2019, 2020, the Sudanese people rose up and demanded democratic governance. They wanted to oust that regime. And you had this fragile period of sort of civilian military transitional government that was supposed to be driving toward an all-civilian government selected by the people. But in that transitional period, the jockeying for power between the formal army and this paramilitary group, the RSF, eventually spilled over into outright conflict. So it's two elements of the former regime, the one that was decisively rejected by the Sudanese people, fighting for control.
You also mentioned earlier the there are external actors in this, among them Russia, who's selling arms and taking gold, and it is in their interest, they believe, to keep the war going, as it is with some of the other groups, including some Islamist groups inside Sudan, no?
No, that's absolutely right. There are hardline Islamists allied with the Sudanese armed forces. That Russia has got relationships on both sides of this conflict. But there are other entities, United Arab Emirates, you know, supplying the RSF, which is a force perhaps best known for committing atrocities. And so there are a lot of different international actors pursuing interests that really, in many ways, have nothing to do with Sudan. Perhaps it's a proxy competition with someone else, or it's about aspirations eventually, you know, in the case of Russia and the armed forces to eventually have some kind of presence on the Red Sea. But it's there has been an absence of accountability, both for those in Sudan committing atrocities, denying people humanitarian aid, and those outside who are fueling this conflict.
So circling back to the beginning of where we started, that this is considered the worst humanitarian crisis ever recorded. You mentioned earlier that, you know, millions of people are at risk of starving to death. What else can you tell us about what is happening on the ground with civilians?
Well, you know, millions have been displaced, so they remain within Sudan's borders, but they've had to flee their homes. And we're talking about 12 million people. There has been a tremendous amount of sexual violence. Healthcare facilities have been targeted in this war. So the deliberate destruction of hospitals and clinics, and as humanitarians will tell you, kind of a food security emergency is the sort of apex of humanitarian disaster. So you can pretty much bet when people are starving to death, you can pretty much bet they don't have access to basic sanitation. They don't have access to healthcare. It's a, you know, that's the kind of last straw of basic human needs not being met. And that is where some 30 million people are in need of assistance. A large chunk of those are in this emergency stage.
They really got blown out of the news when the Israeli-Hamas conflict started. Why do you think it is that we pay such little attention to Sudan?
I have been asking myself this question several times a day for quite a while now. I think part of it is that there, you know, among the belligerents, there are no clear good guys, right? Both sides are unpopular with the Sudanese people, and both sides have committed atrocities. So that's perhaps part of it. I also think that there's a degree to which a fairly racist assumption that violence is some kind of natural state in parts of the African continent is responsible for at least a portion of the neglect. And Sudan's own history, right, of conflict and crisis can inform that and make people think, well, isn't Sudan always in turmoil, which is such a shame because Sudan was such an exciting story of people, very brave civilians, risking everything to try and take their country in a different direction. I don't totally understand why it's not getting more attention, because there certainly are consequences and spillover effects that will have a real impact on the interests of many, many societies, not just Sudan's neighbors.
All right. Michelle, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about this and bring this to light.
Thank you so much for covering it. Thank you.
That's Michelle Gavin, Senior Fellow for Africa Policy Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations.
Yeah, Scott, you know, on Christmas Eve, it's sad to hear a report like that come out any time of the year, but particularly, you know, during the holiday season and people are celebrating, a lot of other people around the world are, we need to remember that a lot of people are suffering.
Unimaginable suffering. The situation in Sudan is horrific, especially for children and women.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we can hope the new year brings in some peace, more peace around the world. We could sure use it.
You've been listening to The Issue from the Voice of America.
On behalf of all of us here at VOA in Washington and around the world, thank you so much for joining us.
Follow The Issue on X and Blue Sky and Facebook at VOA The Issue. It's all one word, VOA The Issue. And for news 24/7, go to our website, voanews.com.
In Washington, I'm Lori London.
And I'm Scott Walterman. Happy holiday to you.